right, Sunday morning, 5:7:23. The teaching today is called Tither's Rights. Tither's Rights. All right, the Lord began with this, was saying to kick Satan out of your affairs. Kick Satan out of your affairs. As a tither, you have the right to claim supernatural intervention in your affairs. In the world, the devourer can do whatever he wants as God of this world, but for the tither, their assets are provided by God himself. He rebukes the devourer for the tither's sake. As I was reading the petitions, I had it to send the angels to safeguard all our assets, wherever they may be, in the bank, wherever. All those that contribute to this ministry in tithes and offerings qualify for tithers' rights. Okay, Malachi 3:10 is going to be the first scripture I'll look at, starting with verse 8 there. I was asking the Lord about what are we supposed to do, Lord? You've not said anything really to us. And this is what he gave me. Verse 8 says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with the curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That word meat there, let me look. I think it's up here. It just means food. I got to thinking about everyone that's hoarding and stocking up food. Well, he's saying, no, seek ye first. All right. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the fields, said the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. All right. Rebuke means to chide. God says, oh no, you don't. You devour, you pass over this one. Devour is to eat. Eat up your assets. Luke 6:38, what does that say? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Yeah. There in verse 10, it talks about the strong of the storehouse. It's a depository. Now think about it. You go to the bank and make deposits. That's what a tither does. He makes deposits into your heavenly bank account, where your assets are protected. We are enforcing the kingdom in this world system by implementation of God's word. All right, Revelation 29. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. That's what God will do for you. He'll devour the devourer. Yeah. Yeah, devour just means to eat up or to eat down. Yep. They think they have us surrounded with nowhere to go. Well, for the tither, we win. We are protected from the devourer. The Lord rebukes him personally for us. When is the kingdom coming? It's already here. We're going to look at a few scriptures concerning that. Revelation 11:15 would be the first one. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. He shall reign forever and ever. All right, the next one is Luke chapter 17. Verse 20, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So the kingdom of God is in you. All right, we're going to go to Matthew 6. Starting with 24. Jesus begins to say here that no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And here, the rest of these scriptures, that's what he's describing, his way and the other way. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the leaves of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, in his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow will take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. A bypass. See, they may have their plan. Even the white hats may have their plan to try to scare the, you know, what out of everybody by what they're doing. But they better not ever forget who's really in charge here. I don't know what the purpose in all of that is, but I'm saying this. God's going to take care of his children. A bypass, just in the days, as in the days of Moses, what happened? The death angel came and passed over the house with the blood on it. Those sealed did not have the devourer take anything, but just the opposite. Psalms 105:37, one of my favorites. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. If he did it then, do you think he'd do it now? When you've been rebuked by God, you better beware, for you are coming down, and that is what is happening with the beast from Jekyll Island. It's coming down. You take care of God's business. Part of that is supplying meat in his house. Then he says, as a covenant partner, an exchange took place, so now I take care of your house. When they used to cut a covenant, what they would do is they exchange weapons. I think they even exchange cloaks. And they pledged to each other. In other words, you cost them, me cost them. That I will absolutely defend you. If someone's threatening your life, I'll take it personally as they're doing it against me. That's what a covenant is, a covenant relationship. And that's the kind of covenant God has for us. All right? Right there, meat means food. That's just the bare necessities of life, right? I'm telling you, in this movement that we've been living through, that's the biggest push, your Patriot Supply Kit. It's just a fear push to get you to buy something. Fear. Faith over fear. Remember the word before, they go hand in hand. Faith over fear. All right. When a storm is preparing, or in a storm is brewing, you prepare. I mean, even the Proverbs, there's different ones, scriptures that talk about preparing. When a wise man sees what's coming, he prepares. There's nothing wrong with preparing. That's the natural thing to do, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we live in a system. The way we live in this system, you have to kind of stay in a state of preparedness all the time. But we should never discount God and what He will do for us, okay? Because when we put it in the kingdom of God, that's where nothing can touch it. See, God is in covenant with us, and He sees your assets that you have done wisely, and so He says we have to act on their behalf. And He will. Do you believe it? All right, Luke chapter 12. I want to say something here before I go any further. You know, we do our plans and we prepare, even Sunday morning or whatever. But it's the Holy Spirit that we have to yield to. He might have us change in a moment. I mean, there's plans of men, but then there's the plans of God. And we want to be sensitive enough to move with the Spirit. All right. This is 12:22. And He said unto His disciples, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. We live in a society that it's all about preventative dentistry, preventative health care, all this stuff. And it's all about all these scheduled appointments to come in and do all these things out of fear. The whole system is that way. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn. And God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, which with taking thought, can add to a stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. Like, oh God, what are we going to do? How am I going to make it through this? For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Well, I read this account. This one gets overlooked. Matthew 6 gets read, but very seldom is this one read. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that fadeth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. How do we do that? By not taking care. You know what that care does? You could just say it's fear. It gets your focus off of what is important and on to thinking about yourself. Off kingdom. He's not saying it's wrong to store up some things, preparedness, but depending on that becomes covetous. There's a lady in the grocery store the other day. She said, I just can't believe they don't have it. She said, if people would just buy groceries normally, we wouldn't be dealing with this problem. And I said, you know what? You're right about that. People come in and hoard. I see them coming out with 20 cases of water. I saw a truck the other day, pickup, stacked 5 foot water. And I'm going, this is what the Lord's talking about right here. Well, if they're of the world, that's all they can do. But I'll tell you what about that water. It can leak out. Y2K, that's the only good to come out of Y2K. Well, the only thing that come out of Y2K is it ruined the boards in the top of my closet because the water leaked out. Danny had to replace them. That's listening to other ministers talk about, oh, my God, you better prepare. Not just the world, but even the church. They're so used to looking after themselves. They're so used to not having any power of deliverance because they have done it all. Just flesh, just works, just garbage. All right. 1 Corinthians 16. Verse 21. Well, it must be second. Sorry. There's not a 16, is there? No. Let me see. Is there? No, there's not. Well, I don't know what that was, so let's move on. All right, 1 Timothy 6, 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Yeah. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. You talk about weird. How far the truth or community has gone and how weird it has become. It's like you don't even recognize anything that just seems to be normal anymore. Everything is so out there and weird. There's that science, falsely so-called. All of it fits right in there. Okay, James chapter 5. Starting with verse 1. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just. He doth not resist you. I don't even know where it is, but it talks about the man that built his barns and he stacked it full of stuff. And then he tore them down, built bigger barns. And he just heaped it all up for himself. And then God required his life of him, so it says. And it says, all this stuff he stocked up, who's going to get it? Whoever, I guess. Now, if God tells you to do something, you do it. But to just out of fear to heap up? See, where we live and for out of every sector, that's what you hear. Let's stock up. But even if you do that, it's kind of like with the Quantum or the Sound Money Wallet. In the Sound Money Wallet, it sounds good, but it's not fully protected. If your money's in that, it can be the same if it's in a bank. And if you have gold and silver, it's not any different. Because I looked into it because I thought, yeah, how's it protected? And then the truth starts coming out about it. It's not any more protected probably in the bank. Now, I did hear someone say about a credit union that they are actually in a credit union, you're a member, and so you're not subject to the same things under a regular bank. And you might want to check into that because, you know. September the 9th, the 1st of September, Texas is going gold. It'll be a digital currency. So the Lord knows. The Lord knows what's going on. Texas is a republic. I think it always has been. The treasury will be in Texas. I believe the Lord's looking out for us Texans, don't you? I really do. All right. This is a time for us to be given giving-minded and not hoarding-minded. Yeah. If you're going to buy up extra, maybe it's to keep in mind there may be somebody around you that can't afford to do so. I'm sure there's many of those. All right. Get a drink here. All right. Have y'all heard that Australia may be the 51st state of the United States? Australia has been one of those continents that feel like they've been on their own and they've had a lot of problems. And they have about three different options right now. But one of them is to become the 51st state or to become a territory of the United States. They've asked the United States to step in and help them. They've tried to do it on their own for a long time and they say they can't. So they've asked the U.S. to help them. And I think this is going to happen maybe with a lot of countries. That's when they talk about those four sections, four sectors. Yeah. God is doing this. Man may think it's their plans, but it's God that's doing this, doing what he wants. Okay. 2 Corinthians 8. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. Now, these people, they were in bad shape, but they insisted on giving. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And here, and I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to go to be forward a year ago. Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by an equality that now as this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. Now, I've heard this several times, but I see it going back to the bartering system. about a time where there'll be no money. There's no need for money. People barter. Well, I got a cow and I can provide milk. You got chickens and you have eggs. Let's barter. Let's exchange. As it is written, he that gathereth much had nothing over. He that gathered little had no lack. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches, and not that only, but who was also chosen the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord in declaration of your ready mind, avoiding this that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. We have sent with them our brother, whom we have oft times proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Rather, any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. Or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Wherefore show ye to them before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know the frowardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain, in this behalf, that, as I said, you may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same attitude boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof you had noticed before that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being rich in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. So the church should be in full participation of this that's going on. From what I see, I just see people just seeing to themselves. So we can't, even though, like I said, it's not wrong to prepare. But if the Lord wants you to share, share. God loves a cheerful giver. It's not a begrudging thing. All right. It would be great if we could know the truth about what is really going on. You hear so many different things that it's like, which is it, Lord? Yeah. Thank God we have the truth of God's word to guide us. He has our backs. He did it in the Old Testament, and he's doing it in the New Testament also. So when we're tithers and we give into his storehouse, we know he's going to take care of us. I personally can't say I've got a thus saith the Lord about it. But I personally believe that probably they've made some kind of thing for people to get their money back, but they're using it as a scare tactic to wake people up, or so they say. Not having any money, waking up and knowing, looking at your account and it's all zero and you have no money and you don't know what to do. Because so many people, they don't want to know the truth. They wouldn't avail themselves to the truth, and it's everywhere. I'm thinking, thank you very much. Yeah. All right. I want to go over to the Old Testament. There's a few couple places over there I want to look at. 1 Kings is the first place. First Kings 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. So what the prophet decreed didn't just affect the bad people, it affected the good people too, right? Kind of like what we're going through. Because of this mess and this evil that's being eradicated, well, it's imposing hurt and pain and lack and all kinds of things on God's people. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. I hope we don't have to go in the backyard and expect a grackle to bring us something to eat. You know what I'm saying? And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. And it was because of him, his decree. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. As she was going to fetch it, she called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering 2 sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. Now, the prophet represented God here in the old covenant. That's how they esteemed him. And after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. She and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. So what would have happened if she'd have said, No way, we got this little bit. Yeah, you're not taking the last bit of our food. It's something to think about, right? And it came to pass after these things, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call me? Call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son. And he said unto her, Give me thy son. He took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord, And the Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child 3 times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth is truth. In thy mouth is truth. Wow. They did eat many days during the famine, and her child got sick, died, was raised to life. That's pretty powerful. Very powerful. I'm telling you, we got kingdom benefits that we don't realize that we have. All right, one more. Genesis chapter 26. This one I've read to you many times, but it's still true. And there was a famine in the land. Now, you know, his father, there was a famine in his time. He went down to Egypt, and that's when they picked up Hagar. There was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. Which were heirs of Abraham, right? By faith. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac stayed in Gerar. All right, pick up with 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. Have you heard any of the truthers say anything about tithing? Any of them? And most of the ones I listen to are Christians or say they are. Never heard a word about tithing and giving. Now, I've heard them say, well, you might prepare so you can share. I've heard them say that. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines, had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdsmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from thence and digged another well, for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth, and he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in land. In other words, strife. Keeping out strife. He avoided it like the plague. Abraham had to get rid of old Lot because of the strife between their employees, basically. Staying out of strife. Staying and following the Lord. We're not victims of the thief. God is delivering us from evil. God never meant for us to know evil, but he gave man a choice to choose in the garden, the tree. And he warned them, if you touch it, you're going to die. It's a killer. Yeah. All right. Go to Daniel chapter 3. You know, when you're in covenant with God, remember all the weeks that we looked at the one true God, the names of God? He's the deliverer. He's the provider. He's the healer. He's all things to all men if they will allow him to be. All right, Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar, that the king, had set up. Talk about a golden calf. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud to you, "It is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. Whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. Whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." The Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Fixing to find out. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." All right, faith decree. "But if not," in other words, even if he didn't, "be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." In other words, your system. "Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spoke and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. He commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because of the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, 'Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?' They answered and said unto the king, 'True, O king.' He answered and said, 'Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God.' Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, 'Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither.' Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes and governors and captains and the king's counselors being gathered together saw those men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of smoke had passed on them. The Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, 'Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, language which speak anything against or amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego should be cut in pieces. Their houses should be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Quite a story. You know, we may feel like we're about to go into the fire, not knowing what to expect, and yeah, it's a little unnerving. But Jesus is waiting there for us. See, we just have to keep that kind of thought, just like with them. No different than Daniel going into the lion's den. Very same thing. All right, let's look at a few more scriptures, then we'll be done. I'm going to look a few in the Psalms and Proverbs here. Psalms 33. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Psalms 34 is a good one. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. He keepeth all of his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Desolate means without. Without. All right, 36:27. There's not a 36:27. Let's see, a 36:7. Well, it's a good one. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. All right. 37:25. I have been young and now am old, yet have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. All right, Psalms 126:6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. In other words, it might be sad. The Lord's requiring you to give up something maybe you want to keep, but you go ahead and sow it, and then later you're rejoicing that you did. All right, Proverbs chapter 6. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry, but if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the sustenance of his house. Satan's the thief. Demand sevenfold from him. I forgot one. Did I read 126:6 Psalms? Did I? I did. Okay. All right, Proverbs 13:22. I'm going to go to 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. I like that one. All right, Ecclesiastes 11. Verse 1, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. We never thought we'd be where we're at now, would we? Did we? If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall towards the south, towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth there, it shall be. In other words, he's saying it doesn't really matter, does it? When you're sowing in the kingdom of God, the atmosphere changes, right? Doesn't matter if the tree falls here or there, what happens? You're sowing in a different place. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. And he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. In other words, if you're going to go by what's happening in this system and act accordingly, you lose. As thou knowest not what is in the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do go in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whether it shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. In other words, you're putting treasure in heaven where it can't be touched. The thief comes what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's his agenda. We shouldn't be surprised that that's what he's doing. So don't allow the thief to steal from you anymore. Faith over fear, right? Faith over fear, right?